In search of solutions to the extreme threat to California's forests and watersheds, I met with Bob Kingman, the Sierra Nevada Conservancy's Assistant Executive Officer in Auburn, California. Incredibly, more than 60% of California's water supply comes from the Sierras, and high-intensity fires such as the 2013 Rim Fire generated greenhouse gas emissions equal to what 2.3 million vehicles produce annually. The massive runoff and erosion, infilled reservoirs, and severely degraded water quality. Kingman offers some insights and solutions. We'll then visit with a hands-on couple, Sean and Dana O'Brien in San Luis Obispo, California, who are sequestering carbon and helping to minimize the threat of forest fires through their urban forested Pacific Coast lumber mill operation and a place to grow recycled greenhouses. The O'Briens work in concert with CAL FIRE's efforts to remove dead and dying Monterey pines in and around the coastal village of Cambria, California. Come along and join Bob Kingman and the O'Briens for a journey of discovery about the mission to mitigate the threat of fire, erosion, and repurposing dead trees for use in construction projects, as well as carbon sequestering, biofuel operations, and more. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Bob Kingman, the Assistant Executive Officer of the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. And the Conservancy is a state-mandated and funded organization?
That's correct, Thomas. We're a state agency.
What is your primary mission? What are you charged with?
That's a big question.
It's a big state.
It's a big state, true, and with a lot of people that have a lot of needs and really enjoy spending time in the Sierra Nevada. When we were created, the legislature purposely gave us a really broad mission and the ability to work in a lot of different areas, really all focusing on a triple bottom line aimed at improving and maintaining the economic, environmental, and social health and well-being of the Sierra Nevada.
Well, that is a broad brush.
Yeah, I warned you.
So your area of responsibility starts way down by Lake Isabella and...
Yeah, a little bit south of there. Our jurisdiction spans from around the Tehachapi area, Kern County, and runs all the way up to the Oregon border in Modoc County.
Right now, your whole region is environmentally at risk and threatened, and it's pretty sobering, to tell you the truth. I drive up and down Highway 49, and it's hard to look out the window.
You're right there. It's kind of a silent, perfect storm that's crept up on us, and it really is scary. Like you said, the condition of our forests right now are terrible, and I think the potential impacts to all of the people of California are looming large, and most people are completely unaware of it.
To the south of here, every other tree looks dead or dying. Is that far off?
No, I think that's a good estimate. In some of the national forests, some of the counts are coming in where they're estimating that half of the trees on the forest are dead right now.
Wow. But as I travel further north in this year, as it looks greener and they look healthier. Is it because of greater rainfall in this area?
Yeah, that's it. The north has experienced a little bit more precipitation, hasn't been hit as hard with the drought, although it's still in drought condition. But even despite that, despite the increase in precipitation, we're seeing this disease and bug kill, tree mortality creep north, and we're expecting it to continue. It's really manifested itself in California after marching through other western states on its way here.
I know that you guys have thought long and hard on how to mitigate, how to do some intrusive rectifying and helping to the situation. What can you do?
Well, that's a great question, and there's a lot that can be done. Unfortunately, a lot of resources right now are sort of being mobilized in a reactive kind of a situation where we're just having to deal with removing dead trees that are hazard to health and humans, hazards to infrastructure facilities like roads and power lines and parks and campgrounds and so forth. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you know, from the preventative side of the equation, I think we have an opportunity to, especially in the areas that haven't been hit so hard yet, to take a more proactive approach and maybe thin out some of the underlying small diameter trees that are choking out our forests right now.
And I guess the big question there is, where do you get the money and how do you get the money? Somebody's got to pay for the workers to go in there.
You nailed it right on the head. There's only so much money and so many resources available to do this work. So we're actively seeking resources. The Sierra Nevada Conservancy is investing all of the funding that we were allocated out of a recent bond measure to address this issue. And we're working actively with a lot of other state and federal agencies to leverage investments on their behalf as well.
Can you politic for a surgical targeted bond issue that would give you the funds?
Politic is an interesting term. We certainly are doing our best to provide the information to the public and to policymakers so that they can make educated decisions on where to allocate funding.
You guys do lobby in Sacramento, right?
Well, we're not allowed to lobby, actually, because we're a public agency.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, there are people that lobby on behalf when they become educated about the issues at hand. So it's important.
So how do you get the word to Sacramento, then? How do you communicate the need?
Well, we communicate that need in as many circles as we can, including interviews, articles that are written. When it really manifests itself is when it hits a community, and the outcry, typically when it may be too late, but that outcry at the community level then elevates up to a higher level.
That's one of the paradoxes, too, is because your area is probably one of the least populated areas with the fewest number of communities in California. There's no urban area even near you.
Yeah, it's an uphill climb. The very rural area of the Sierra Nevada holds a very small percentage of the state's population and therefore a small percentage of the voting power. It is paradoxical that a lot of the resources, the most valuable resources that benefit all of the state, like its water, flows down to the metropolitan areas where the people are. So it's really important that they understand the connection between voting and supporting opportunities to take care of the resources that they may not see in their own backyard.
Let's talk about trying to find an economic benefit from even the tree die-off. I mean, you had the fire in 2014, 2015. You have some dead standing timber that has value. Why can't you bring in loggers and sell off those dead trees? Can you, or are you doing that?
The loggers are hard at work. They're up to their noses in black trees that have burned and brown trees that have recently died due to drought and insect infestation. The existing capacity that the state has to deal with those wood products is at capacity right now. So we're looking for new ways, new markets, developing new markets and ways to utilize that wood.
I heard you talking earlier about biomass and that regeneration, power generation from the dead timber.
Yeah, it seems to be one way to utilize a lot of this wood, the biomass facility, in a way that could generate power for public usage, and at the same time reducing carbon and greenhouse gas emissions that would result from burning it in open piles.
Are there any operable biomass facilities now in the Sierras anywhere?
Yeah, there are several operating biomass facilities. However, they're all at threat of being shut down because they're not able to renew their power purchase agreements with the utilities to purchase the electricity that they produce. They can't compete with the electricity that's produced using other sources, either solar or natural gas. They can't compete on that field from an economic standpoint.
Let's talk about fire and fire suppression and that paradox and compounded problem today.
Yeah, it really is. The story here is a result of a long-term effort and culture that's been built around fire suppression. California especially has become among the world's best at fighting fires. Unfortunately, some of that has resulted in a publicly held notion that all fires need to be immediately put out, when in fact we're seeing that there are a lot of positive ecological benefits to let some fires, low-intensity fires, burn so that they can naturally thin out some of that understory fuel.
Going forward, what are you most concerned about? What keeps you up at night?
Just how fast time goes by. You know, this is an emergent situation, and the longer we hesitate to take action and make some positive steps towards addressing this, the harder it's going to get to address it.
If you ruled the world and you could do anything you want, what would you do? What would you implement now?
If I were in that position, I would really try and convince people of California that that this is an investment opportunity. This isn't a fee. This isn't a cost. This is an opportunity to invest in our future and the future of our future generations. There will be a beneficial payback from an investment now.
And that's in our forests, in our environment.
In our forests, in our upper watersheds, to return our upper watersheds to a healthy, resilient condition so that they continue to produce, store, and deliver high-quality water to the state of California.
Bob Kingman, I'm going to come back and visit you again, and we'll talk more in depth. For further information,
please visit our website, sierranevada.ca.gov.
We've been speaking with Bob Kingman, Assistant Executive Officer, Sierra Nevada Conservancy. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Tom.
What's a forklift's height?
That thing, when it's this, I would say 9 feet, somewhere around there.
So let's make sure it's 10 or 11.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from San Luis Obispo, California. Right now, we're at Pacific Coast Lumber, urban, forested, and eco-friendly operation. And we're here with Sean and Dana O'Brien, the owners. Hi.
How's it going, Tom?
Good. Hi, Tom. Thanks for coming.
So this is not a run-of-the-mill organization. This has an added dimension, and that has to do with a real sensitivity and obligation, stewardship for the environment. Tell us about that dimension. First of all, what you do, and then that greater good.
We're a custom mill. We take trees that fall from the local community, San Luis Obispo County, and that's called urban forested lumber. These are trees that are in people's backyards, on ranches, the city trees that have to come down. In fact, yesterday we just got a beautiful acacia tree. It's awesome.
No clear cutting then.
No. It's just, you know, things that have to come down. The drought is killing a lot of trees. We went down to Napomo. I got 5 large redwood trees because somebody's backyard, and the trees were dead, and they had to come out.
And they're probably really happy to see you guys show up to haul away some lumber.
Yes, they are. It helps them out because what they have to do, tree companies also drop material off here. They harvest the trees. They take them down. They fall them, and they have to go bring them somewhere. Historically, they've taken them to the landfill or cut them up for firewood and have to deal with them there. If they bring the logs here or we go and get them, we can mill them into durable products. Urban forested lumber that we can mill in any way, shape, or form. One of the structures I have out here in my shop, all made out of Monterey pine from Cambria. I'm working with Cal Fire up there, as you may know, Tom, your audience may not, it's the largest Monterey pine forest in the world, native forest. Right now, it's about 3,500 acres. Right now, about half of those trees are dead or dying. Cal Fire is mostly interested in seeing that the forest is safe, that it's not a fuel for a fire that can come through.
With all the windfall and the dead and dying laying on the ground makes a great fuel source.
Yeah, and Mother Nature will take care of it one way or the other, right? So if we can take a lot of the material that's not too rotten, we can take that and make durable products out of them, such as an 8x10 shed I have in my side yard here. It's live edge siding. It's all made out of the frame material from these Monterey pines. We're making a durable product that has a higher use than firewood or chipping. Cal Fire has a grant to do what's called carbon sequestration. And what that means is keeping the material from emitting carbon, your greenhouse gases. If it's burned or if it's rotten, that's still emitting carbon. So what they want to do is keep that from happening and helping the environment. It's carbon negative, that's what it is.
So is there a prioritization of ways to inhibit that?
If you make a table, like we can do a large slab out of pine, that table is going to last 100 years or so, maybe more. That's keeping the carbon from getting into the atmosphere and continuing with the greenhouse gas effects. If I make a shed or any of the furniture, Adirondack chairs, that's keeping that wood from deteriorating quickly.
I know in the Sierras are trying to do some biofuels as a secondary use. And that's not a perfect world, but it's a great compromise.
Well, there are cogen plants out in the valley, and we talked to Cal Fire about helping them get the materials out there. That's still going to create some carbon footprint. Right. There is a product up in Berkeley. I think it's All Power is the name of the company. And they're doing a carbon-negative power generator such that the material gets into a gas form. They harvest the hydrogen and then combust the hydrogen in the engine. And then what's left is the physical carbon that is great for plant material. We're talking with them right now to see if we can use one of their power supplies here on site. with all of the extra material we have, if you go look at our site.
You're going to generate your own power is what you're saying.
That is a strong possibility.
That's, that would be cool.
And that way, you know, we use a lot of power here, and if we can get there, that's one thing we're working on.
You definitely have the fuel source.
Yes, and I think that would be a great thing for us. Also, Cal Fire is looking to do that same thing in Cambria to help power, you know, Cambria's public school systems and things up there. So we're working with Cal Fire to do our best to help the environment and make durable products. So we make custom products here, milling them from logs into whatever we need, siding, framing material, tables, chairs, whatever you want.
And for builders and even homeowners, I understand, well, I know I came and got some mantle material from you that was recycled and milled up real nice.
One of the things that's great is people come here and I tell them what kinds of wood we can provide. We can do cypress, redwood, oak, plenty of pine. Sycamore is a beautiful wood. Ash is a beautiful wood. Plenty of walnut here. There's a lot of walnut orchards up in the North County and Paso Robles area, Templeton. And they're coming down because they're too old, and they're being converted to grapes or other kind of farming. So now we're getting access to these large walnut logs, and this is beautiful. And we can make beautiful furniture out of them, beautiful slabs, anything you want. So it's neat to really show people what they can get here, and I'm enjoying it.
Tell us about some of the coolest projects you've worked on, some custom contracts, you know, maybe for a winery or a bar top or something that is really cool reuse.
So there's a local brewery that's opening up a facility just across town. His carpenter came by and the owner came by as well, and they looked at a bunch of slabs we have, and there were these large sycamore slabs. They're 12 feet long, a little bit of a dog leg to the left. Sycamore is a beautiful, beautiful wood. The grain in sycamore is speckly. It's got good spalting, which is a certain kind of mold that will leave different interesting markings on them. And there were four large slabs that came out of it. The owner looked at him and goes, wow, I got to have this. So they're going to be on his tabletops, four large tabletops that are live edge and natural shapes that will be fantastic. He bought a lot of other pine slabs for the bar tops and indoor tables. So it's going to be a beautiful display of the work we do. And it was simply because we had those in stock. Otherwise, that material would have been firewood, cut up and ground up, would have been playground chips somewhere in, you know, who knows where. But these trees come down local, and they're milled local, and they're delivered local. So the footprint to get them from point A to point B is pretty small.
And another example of a really cool existing project that is in place that somebody could go and see.
So we've owned this the mill for about 5 months now. Don Seawater started this whole industry here in town 20 years ago. He's been milling the material and providing material for the county for just 20 years. That was what really attracted me to the industry, this particular business. He's ready to retire, enjoy retirement, and I was just really enamored by that. Some of the projects that he's done that can be visible, at Farm Supply, there's a cabin, the one on Tank Farm Road. In San Luis Obispo on Tank Farm Road. There's also a cabin he has at Sage Nursery in Los Osos. And a lot of the cabins he's done are dotted in the hillside and people's private properties.
As I drive around the county, in Tri-County area, I'll go, oh my gosh, there's that log siding, you know, and you know it's a Seawater project.
On Los Osos Valley Road near Foothill, there's a large barn that has got live edge siding. And that's one of the things that people say, did you guys do that? And the answer is, yes. So that's pretty cool stuff. And we really enjoy the artistic. A lot of our customers come in and they want to get a mantle top. A mantelpiece. I have a couple mantles out in the yard right now, the live edge, it's cypress. And we strip the bark off the edge of it and grind it down and sand it down. It's just really beautiful. There's some bug trails that are on there, little grub marks. We leave them on there because it's what Mother Nature put.
And for the listener, live edge is the outer linear line of the outside of the tree. You might have the branches sticking out.
Yeah.
And yeah, barkless, but yeah, very cool.
Well, some people like bark.
Yeah.
There's one that I'm going to leave the bark on for a big countertop. They want the bark on there. They'll make sure it's fastened and things. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful look. So one of the projects we've been working on is with Cambria, as I mentioned earlier, with all the trees coming down there. People really love the trees up there. It really is the signature of what Cambria is. People have large pine trees coming down in the backyard, and they call me and say, what can I do with this? Well, we can make them into furnitures or things. One of the very interesting projects is turning them into flooring, wood flooring. We can take the trees in here. We can mill them into the dimension that you like. We can get them tongue and grooved and finished out. And now you have a tree that died in your backyard. Now you have that wood in the home. The people really enjoy that's the legacy. They can leave it to their grandchildren. This flooring came from out here. It's just the way it's supposed to be. That's how it was back in the day.
Is it air cured, or how do you do that?
So we have a kiln here. We have a very large kiln. So we can take the material, dry it here, then go bring it to somebody to do the finished tongue and groove and planing. And the wood flooring is just spectacular. Pine is a nice soft wood, and it's not an oak, it's not a hardwood, but it's a beautiful wood on the foot. It's got great grain, and it's just a fantastic thing to be part of.
If you have an exotic big giant tree in your yard, call Pacific Coast Lumber.
Yes, 805-543-5533.
Reuse.
One of the things that we're most proud of in helping the environment is keeping roughly about 40,000 board feet of material out of the landfill because we can mill them into durable products. That's about the capacity that we can mill. And we have about 2 acres worth of logs that are on our facility here. We have lots to choose from. And again, making that material into something durable, roughly 40,000 board feet, is a pretty significant contributor to reducing greenhouse gases. And that's one of the things that we're pretty proud of.
One last question for me. What's the most exotic wood that you've had roll in here that was grown on the Central Coast?
Exotic is an interesting term. Sycamore is something that is a beautiful wood that I would not have thought would be as beautiful as it is. Acacia is another beautiful wood. It's non-native, but it's certainly grown around here. It's a nice hardwood. It's got beautiful grain to it.
Dana O'Brien, I understand that you're right next door and you have a parallel universe of reuse of wood.
I do, Tom. Yes, my business is called A Place to Grow Recycled Greenhouses. And I've been in business for approximately 4 years now, and I am located in the same business park, which makes it very convenient. And we take reclaimed materials such as, well, now, urban forested lumber from Pacific Coast Lumber.
So you sneak over at night then?
Pretty much in my ninja gear, put the black grease paint, do some cartwheels and back springs. But we take that urban forested lumber to frame up our structures, and then we bring in reclaimed barn wood or fence boards and vintage windows and doors to create these outdoor sheds or creative spaces for people to grow in whatever way they need. We're passionate about repurposing at A Place to Grow. We like to take construction waste, keep it out of the landfill, and do something new and interesting with it. For example, we'll take a French door and hang it horizontally and drop it down to a bar top. So now you've got a shed that's got a door that opens as a door but drops down to a bar top surface for breakfast bar, wine bar, entertaining your friends.
Or beers.
Beer bar, yeah. So the he shed. We do he sheds. We also do she sheds. So.
You have the coolest reused doors and windows in your greenhouses. I love them. How do you find them? Are you a garage sale queen? Or?
Well, my daughter fondly refers to me as a dumpster diver. So. But yes, we're looking at Craigslist. We're Habitat for Humanity. We're always at their restore. I'm networked with a lot of contractors that are also passionate about keeping this construction waste out of the landfill.
So there are people in the trades that know you want it, and they'll call you up and, hey, I got some doors and windows for you.
Yes, they do. They call me up. Sometimes I'll drive up to my shop and I'll have some leaning against the shop, which is beautiful. And we take them, we refurbish them and turn them, give them their life back. You know, whether it's replacing some glass or reglazing them or just giving them a fresh coat of paint, we make them beautiful again.
You're in kind of the edge of the world of San Luis Obispo out by the airport, and you have to hunt to find you. Mm-hmm. Where would somebody see your work? I know I saw some of your work at the Morro Bay Art Fair. Yeah, where else would they be able to come and see easily?
So we are at a lot of the home shows in the area, and Morro Bay Art in the Park will be there on 4th of July as well as Labor Day weekend. We do also have a shed, one of our flower sheds, out at Sage Ecological Landscape and Nursery. They are also sustainably minded, so we have a partnership with them where we represent them and they represent our product to their clients. We're all over the county. We've done over 60 structures now, sheds throughout, and we are gaining some momentum. We recently won an award from the United States Green Building Council for their Central Coast Division for their Green Innovation Award. One of those sheds is currently at my shop, so you can come by and see it. We are on the fringe of San Luis Obispo, Tom. That's a good way of putting it.
The Tallow Works were right next door.
Yes, we've got some history here. Tallow Works was here, but they've recently pulled out. There's no longer any tallow work going on. The whole area is turning around. We've got the new homes on Prado Road that are solar powered, at least the first phase was. And what we're calling this little business park as it's transforming is the slow green zone. And that's because we have my business, A Place to Grow, that's sustainably minded, the lumber mill, Pacific Coast Lumber, that's sustainably minded. We have a landscape products, which is all natural products for the most part. And then we've got some new tenants, Sangha Energy, which is solar generators. And our most recent tenant is Hague Water Systems, and they're passionate about providing clean water, good water, and not encouraging the use of the water bottles that end up in landfills and all that. So it's really kind of turning around, cleaning up this area. The city's plan is to punch Prado Road through to Broad at some point, Broad Street and Tank Farm Road.
Wouldn't that be great? What a game changer.
That would totally, definitely change the game around here, and we're looking forward to when that happens.
And what I would love would be an overpass going the other direction.
Yes.
Then you'd really connect and lessen the traffic congestion in San Luis.
Yeah, we definitely need to lessen that congestion and get some of that flow through Prado Road would take the pressure off of Tank Farm Road for sure. And we would, of course, like that traffic past our business park here.
Someday.
Someday.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're about out of time, but it's been an absolute pleasure to come out and meet and see the operation here with Sean O'Brien and Dana O'Brien. For further information, Sean?
Give me a call at 805-543-5533, or you can visit our website at pacificcoastlumber.com.
Dana?
You can find us at Place to Grow at 445 Prado Road, Building B. My phone number is 805-704-1155, and you can look up our webpage at recycledgreenhouses.com. A Place to Grow, Recycled Greenhouses.
There you go. Well, thanks. It's been great.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
And I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from San Luis Obispo County.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning.
I would walk in that ribbon of highway. I saw above me that endless skyway. Saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me, a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling. Voice was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling, and the voice coming chanting, and the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me.